5. Yud Tes Teves, Thursday the 16th of January, Rabbi Mattis Yohu Lawrence, Golus, Descent, Ascent.
Good morning. The topic of the Shia is Golus, Descent, and Ascent. We find ourselves now in the beginning of Parshas Shmois, Sefer Shmois, which is bringing us into what appears to be a bleak period in the history of Klal Yisrael, going into Mitzrayim, the Shibud of Mitzrayim, the Inui of Mitzrayim, and 210 years or more, if we count from earlier, of slavery in Mitzrayim. And we know that this is the first Golus, the first exile of Klal Yisrael. And we tend in our minds, when we think about exile, the concept of exile, we tend to think of it as a concept of punishment. That Klal Yisrael has done something wrong, and for that, mipnei chato'enu, golinu me'artzenu, as we say in the davening. And we tend to think that the idea of exile, Golus, is because of averas, and punish, and therefore it's a punishment for that. However, what I'd like to reveal today, perhaps a little bit, is another approach to what Golus is about. And not only the Golus of Mitzrayim, but the subsequent Goluyos, the Klal Yisrael went through and are continuously going through at present until Moshiach comes. What is the concept of Golus? In addition to the concept of punishment, the concept of Golus in perhaps a more positive sense. And this question is not so much my question. If you look at the handout sheets that you have in the first section over here, so we have a quote here from the Sefer Torah Moshe, which is from the Alshich HaKadosh, and he asked an interesting question. V'hinei lavoi el ha'inyon. To bring ourselves into the inyon that we're discussing, royu kol ish chocham leivav lidroish v'losu v'chochma Almeh Osar Hashem Kocho Nikadoshim Asher Ba'oret. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to the holy Kadoshim, to the holy people, Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, the Shvatim, who were living in Eretz Yisrael? Why did he bring them into Mitzrayim? Why did they have to stay there for so long? What was it all about? Yaakov, B'chol HaNefesh Habo Mitzrayim, L'Seis Tachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, to place underneath the burdens of Mitzrayim, es b'neihem, their children, b'nei b'neihem, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. How many doiras were there? 7, 8, 9 doiras. Reish Yud Shana, 210 years. B'choymeh u'b'levenim, working with bricks and mortar, and all the difficulties of the shibud. U'b'chol avoyda basodeh, ma pish'om u'ma chatosom. What was their sin? What did they possibly do so wrong that could result in Klal Yisrael having to go down into Mitzrayim for so long and under such harsh conditions? V'haloi, loy choshed kutshe brichu do'ovid dinah b'loy dinah chalida. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things without a cheshbon. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things without a din, without a reason, without a calculation. So what is the idea of the Golus that Klal Yisrael went into? And we can perhaps broaden the question not just to the Golus of Mitzrayim, but to the subsequent Goliyos that we found ourselves in and presently find ourselves in. What is the point of it all? That's really the question that he's asking. So, the starting point, obviously, in reference to Golus Mitzrayim, is the Bris Bein HaBasorim. If you look in the second source over here, which is in Parshas Lech Lecha. So the Pasuk says, Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking to Avraham Avinu. Vayomer la'Avram, Hashem said to Avram, Yodaya teida ki ger yiyeh zarecha ba'aretz loylohem. Ba'aretz loylohem. You shall surely know that your children are going to be slaves in a... They're going to be sojourning strangers in a land which is not theirs. Va'avodum vi'inuoy som adam yoshona. And they're going to enslave them and oppress them for 400 years. V'games ha'goy asher yavoidu don anoichi. And the nation which enslaves them, I will judge, says Hashem. V'achreichen yetzi b'chush godoy. We're familiar with this pasuk from... We're familiar with this pasuk from the Haggadah. It's pasuk in Pesukim in Parshas Lech Lecha in the Brisbane Masorim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right from the start, already tells Avraham Avinu, and thereby informs the whole of Klal Yisrael for the future, that there's going to be a Golos. He doesn't say in Mitzrayim, but there's going to be a Golos. And there's going to be a slavery, and it's going to last 400 years, however you cheshbon out that 400 years. But that's how long it's going to last. And at the end, yes, I will judge that nation, and you'll come out, the Ruchush Godel, again, whatever that means, we're gonna, not going to discuss that today, what exactly what the Ruchush Godel is, we will touch upon it a little bit. But the Pasuk doesn't give a reason. It doesn't say it was because of Averas that they will, have, will do in the future, or any other Averas of Avraham Avinu. It doesn't say any reason why we are going to go into a foreign country for 400 years. It doesn't say a reason. And in fact, nowhere in the Torah does it say any clear reason. The only reference is a hint much, much later on in the Torah, in Parshas Vayeschanan. If you look at the third source on your sheet, in Parshas Vayeschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting the last 40 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'eschem lokach Hashem, Hashem took you, v'yoytzei eschem mikur habazel, and took you out from the Kur HaBazel, the iron furnace. From Mitzrayim, Yos Loi La'am Nachalok Hayom Hazeh. So the only real description, more than what the Pesukim describe in Sefer Shmois, in Parsha Shmois, Vo'era, Boy, the only description of what Mitzrayim really is, the only definition of what Mitzrayim really is in this Pasuk over here, where it describes it as a Kur HaBazel. And this expression is adopted by many Mefarshim and Sfarim later on, that the concept of going through Mitzrayim is a Kur HaBarzel, a fiery furnace for metal, and there's some concept of a furnace, which we have to try and explain a little bit further what this is really all about. If we move to the fourth source over here, which is from the Zohar, this is quoted in various different Sforim. And in fact, actually, Rav Yaakov Hillel Shlita quoted this at the Dafyu Museum, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? He quoted this as part of his drosha. We're going to take perhaps a different approach to the way, the context that he brought it in. But it's a Zohar, a well-known Zohar, which is quoted in different Sforim. And the Zohar says the following thing. Kegavna do omru mori maslisin. The following thing is what the masters of the Mishnayos said, or the teachings said. Familiar pasuk. The Egyptians embittered our lives, but avoid a kosher, with hard labor. Says the Zohar, what is avoid a kosher? Bekushia, with strong questions. Kushia, right? This is the learning Gemara. You have a kasha. So avoid a kosher, which we normally translate as hard work, back-breaking labor, the Zohar says means kushia. Akasha on a sugya. B'choymer, says the Zohar. B'kal v'choymer, which we know is a method of interpreting the Torah. Kal v'choymer, all the more so. U'b'levenim, means bricks, says the Zohar. B'libun hilchasa, literally the whitening of halacha, the clarity of halacha. When you learn a sugya and you go through it properly, it goes from being cloudy, hopefully, if we work properly, to clarity, libun halacha. That's the reference levanim, which means bricks, but it's understanding it as libun halacha, libun hilchasa. B'chol avoida basodeh, again, normally translated as work in the field. Do brisa. This refers to a brisa, learning a brisa. Bilan Gemara, the Gemara quotes brisas. Es kol avoidosom, do mishnah. And this refers to Mishnah. So somehow, in the depths of Mitzrayim, in the slavery, in the shibud of Mitzrayim, there's some deep level of Torah learning happening. Kashas, Tirutzim, Kal V'Chomer, Libud Halacha, Brises, Mishnah. Well, what on earth does this mean? We would never have thought that that's what this pasuk is referring to. We were taking it on its literal sense of work, physical work in Mitzrayim. Let's move to the fifth source over here. Hey, on your sheet, which is again from the Al-Shich. This is a continuation of the same piece that we started with today. The Sefer Torah Moshe from the Al-Shich. So the Al-Shich discusses many of the different approaches which the Mefarshim over the Doris have suggested what the Shibud, what the Golus was all about. He rejects all of them. He says, this one has a kasha, and that one has a kasha, and if we were to go through all of that, we'd be here for many hours. So we're not going to go through all the other Mefarshim and all the other kashas that he has on it. But he summarizes his approach, his understanding as to what the Golus is all about. Klal hadvarim. If you have it on the sheet, it's ois hey. Klal hadvarim. Ki me Hashem yotza hadovo lahadloiso mitzrayma. Of course it came out from Hashem, a decree to exile them in Mitzrayim. The man, anoisom, in order to afflict them, lahotich chalas zumas nochosh, in order to rid them of the impurity, of the poison, of the nochosh. Kehitoch kesef besoich kur. Just like you refine silver in a furnace, Vehigu sugim mikesef, and refining silver from impurities, Vahoya kesef asher yotzu mimitzrayim vahasugim hanoisorim hein heima kol hamesim v'meyafela. The process of the shibud of Mitzrayim was to refine Klal Yisrael. And any refinement that didn't take place, that didn't succeed through the shibud, those people who were not refined enough, not purified enough, they were the ones who died in Makas Choyshech, Kamaduba. Ba'al kein lo yotzu rak echod min nun, oy mehe meyotz, and that's why Chazal tell us, only 1 out of 50, 1 out of 500, Kamosha Omuzal. Because there were many people who didn't make the grade, as they say. The process of refinement, which took hundreds of years in the Kor HaBazel, as we quoted from the Pasuk before, that enabled a chayik of Klal Yisrael to become refined, to become purified from the poison of the Nochash, which we'll explain in a second. But not everybody. And that's why a large part of Klal Yisrael died, and only a small part actually came out. What is this poison of the Nochash? So we know, the time of the Marishan, Chava, and Gan Eden, the Nochash convinced them that they would eat from the Eitz Hadas, which was the only mitzvah that they had, and they failed in that test, and they ate from the Eitz Hadas. And that caused catastrophic consequences, as we'll talk more about a little bit. But one of the consequences of this eating from the Eitz Hadas was a poison, a spiritual poison of the Nochash, which went in to the Neshama of Adam HaRishon, and therefore all the Neshamas which came out from Adam HaRishon afterwards. And this poison needed to be cleaned out, it needed to be purified. In order for Klal Yisrael to be able to be mekabel the Torah, it wasn't possible to be mekabel the Torah unless this zuhama, this poison, had been cleaned out. And the purpose of going through Mitzrayim, says the Al-Sheikh, and many other Sforim as well, was to clean out this poison, this zuhama, this tumma, whatever you want to call it, thereby refining Klal Yisrael to be a refined nation ready to be mekabel the Torah. So, looking at this approach, which is echoed in other Sforim as well, it's a process of removal of the negative. There's a negative force there, there's a tumor there, and in order to prepare Klal Yisrael for Matan Torah, eventually, this negative force, this impurity, this tumor, has to be removed. Going through the Kor HaBavel, going through Mitzrayim, which is a process of oppression, of being subjugated, of being put down, of being oppressed, somehow, just like when you treat something, for example, you want to make it better. You take, for example, a hide, you take a skin, and you want to make it into leather. So what do? You trample on it, you squash it, you flatten it. All the pu'ulas that we very often do to many things to make them better seem to be a yurida l'tzorich aliyah. They seem to be the idea of making something worse in order to make it better. If you look around, many, many things, no pain, no gain, as they say. But it does seem to be the structure of the Bria in many, many different things. So going through the Kor HaBazel was a process of refinement and purification in order to prepare Klal Yisrael for Matan Torah eventually. But let's move to a slightly different approach, which really flows from this one, but it's a second different approach. And this is also connected to the Chet of Adam HaRishon. The Svarim bring that at the time of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, before Chet was brought into the world, there was a tremendous Kedusha in the world. The world was at a much, much higher level. Adam HaRishon was at a higher level. Everything was at a much higher level. And when this Aveiru was committed, this Kedusha, which at that time was an intensification of Kedusha, a concentration of Kedusha, split. And it became scattered all over the world. And the Sfarim refer to this as the Nitzotzei Kedusha. There were sparks of Kedusha that were split, and they were scattered all over different places all over the world, many other countries as well. If you look at the sixth source, Vav, on your sheet, which is from the Orach Chaim at the end of Sefer Bereishis. The Orach Chaim quotes over here, the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Anshei Soidoi, and the men of his secret. In other words, he's quoting here from Sifrei Kabbalah. She'omru, Kitam ha-goluyos hu levare chelkei ha-kedusha ha-mufuzorim ba'anfi ha-klipa. The purpose of Golus is to retrieve, to select the chelkei ha-kedusha, the sparks of Kedusha, the portions of Kedusha, which are scattered ba'anfi ha-klipa. They've come under the wrong control, under the control of other forces which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world, the Sitra Achra, and the clippers of the Tzotzei Kedusha have come under the control of this other side, so to speak. And he goes on to explain, and we're not going to go through every single word, that Mitzrayim was the worst place in the world. It was the most Tomei place in the world. It was the pits of Tumah in the world. But in places where there is a deep intensification of Tumah, that's where the Kedusha goes. The Kedusha, the greater the degree of the Tumah, the greater the degree of the Kedusha, that it escapes over there, it gets buried over there, and it needs to be retrieved from there. Which is probably why we find some places in the world where there is intensive Kedusha are also places of intensive Tumah as well. I'm not going to be marach on that. And he goes on, if you skip a couple of lines, where it goes into the bold print. And he says, Ve'enei kol Yisrael hazeh, b'chol ha-goluyos. The eyes of Klal Yisrael were on this idea throughout all the goluyos. Klal Yisrael realized this message. Klal Yisrael realized this idea. That in the far-flung lands that we were scattered to, that we were dispersed to, there are chelkei kedusha, there are nitzotzei kedusha, which have escaped into these places, who befrat b'golus Mitzrayim, especially in Golus Mitzrayim, which was the height of Tumah. And had Yaakov Avinu not gone down to Mitzrayim, there would be ein tikvah, there would be no hope to retrieve this Kedusha. Elsewhere, the Orach Chaim explains it like a magnet. Imagine you have on your table metal filings, metal iron filings, all scattered all over the place. And you come along with a magnet, says Orach Chaim, and you hold it above these iron filings. They all come suddenly attracted to the magnet, and you're able to take them away. So even if the little filings are mixed up amongst rubble, and amongst stones, and amongst mess, and amongst dirt, and all kinds of other things, and you can't pick out each one by itself, but when you come along with a magnet, and you hold it there, you schlep them all out, and by itself, may Elav, may Elehem, all the Nitzotzei Kedusha, all the Nitzotzim of metal, fly towards the magnet. The same is true. When you send a holy soul, a Nefesh of Kedusha, like Yaakov Avinu and the Shlotim, into Mitzrayim, into the Makom Tumah, where all the Kedusha's got mixed up amongst the Tumah, you're able to schlep it all back. That's what the Or HaChaim says. Again, he repeats himself in the next source, the last source on this side. But he's discussing over here why Hashem couldn't take them out from Mitzrayim earlier than he did. Why did they have to be there so long? Why so many years, so many generations? Would it have hurt if it would have come out 30 years earlier, 50 years earlier? Why do we need to be there so long? Why do we need to be there, as the Arizal says, is quoted in the Haggadah, the Arizal and many, many other Haggadahs, famously. Which level did we fall down to? The 49th level of Tumah. Had we got to the 50th level, perhaps we wouldn't have come out, Chas v'Shalom. So, what does it mean? Why did Hashem leave them to the last possible moment and only them to redeem them? Says the Or HaChaim, the main point of Golos is to be able to go and select and retrieve all these Nitzotzos which have become buried deep in the 50th level of Tumah. If they would have come out earlier from Mitzrayim, they would have lost that biru. They would have lost that opportunity to be able to retrieve the sparks of Kedusha, the Nitzotzei Kedusha that were scattered there in Mitzrayim at the lowest level. And they had to descend to the lowest level almost in order to be able to uncover that Kedusha that was there in the lowest level. And he explains, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, we know, didn't attain the highest level of Havona in the Torah. We know that there are, like 50 levels of Tumah, there's also 50 levels of Kedusha and Bina. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't succeed in attaining the highest level, the 50th level. He got to 49 levels, but not the 50th level. Why? Because that needed a retrieval of the highest level of Kedusha, which was buried at the lowest level of Tumah. These are deep ideas, but these are brought in, not Sifrei Kabbalah. This is not Sifrei Kabbalah here. This is the Or HaChaim on Chumash. But he goes on to say, in the bold print, Kila osid lavoi, in the future, Yashpia bonu kel elyon toiras chayin shebashara chamishin. We're not going to miss out. Although we may have only achieved the 49th level of Torah understanding, we will be given a gift by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a shefa by Hashem, of the shara chamishin, or the 50th gate. And how do we get there? Says the Or HaChaim, how do we attain it? How do we achieve it? Through Golos. Ubifrat Golos Ha'achroin, that we are in now. The Golos Ha'achroin that we are in now, specifically is the time for achieving the highest level, the deepest level of Torah understanding, Onu Masigim Hadova. Because we find ourselves in times of tremendous Tumah. There are tremendously bad things that go on in the world today, in a public forum, in a recognized form, in an official capacity. We find ourselves in a situation where things that years ago were not even thought about, were not even talked about, today have become normal, so to speak. Yeah. Become acceptable. Things which we classify as tumah have become the norm in the society around us. And we get upset by that, we get depressed by that, but there is a certain comfort here from the words of Or HaChaim, that the deeper the Tumah gets, the more we can actually be mevare, the unfaith, the Kedusha, the Klippos, from the Klippos we can take out the Nitzotzei Kedusha, and that is the final pathway to the Geula. And he finishes off by saying, "V'me'ata kol shehoya Hashem mitzi Yisrael koidim zman kol shehu." Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have taken us out even a little bit before the time that was allotted, that would have reduced this process of clarification, of selection that took place, and they correspondingly would have not attained the level of Torah or the preparation for the level of Torah that they needed for Matan Torah shortly afterwards. And that's why he took them out at the last possible minute, shel memtes of the 49th level of Tumah, the koidem sheichnus to the Shah Hanun, before they just descended into the 50th level and would not have been able to come out from there. For who, Oimram Zal, this is what Chazal said, uka'olam miyad. He he redeemed them miyad, instantly. In other words, at the instant that it needed to happen. So we have here a second approach to what Golos is about. We've had the first approach, which is taking out the sigim, taking out the tumah, taking out the negativity from the nachash. The second approach we've had over here is almost the opposite, but it's complementary. We're taking out over here the kedusha, the tremendous sparks of kedusha that have been dispersed into Mitzrayim and in subsequent places, subsequent goluyos, in all different places in the world, as we're going to explain now. That is the process of Golos. This is a positive aspect of Golos. Of course we don't want to be in Golos. We don't want to be in Golos. But whilst we're here, we have to know that there is a positive process going on as well. I'd like to quote to you something on the next side over here, which is from the Shem HaGdolim from the Chidah. And the Chidah makes an interesting observation. And he says that we find that we know the Talmud Bavli developed in Bavel, and Yidden lived in that area of the world, Bavel, Poras, that was the area of the world that we live, Middle East. And he goes on to say that it came to a point where those Kehillas folded in. To this day, very little there. Kehillas which were Ein Be Yisrael over there, in that part of the world, very, very little left today. And he says, on the third line there, Ve'efshah, Sha'achrei Shehoisa Zerechas HaTorah Shom, after the Torah had been shining, it had shone over there, with a vono, like the moon, B'lemilua, in its entirety, V'shem Hochi Nistalka HaTorah Mishom, V'nisyasta B'sforad, it moved over to the other side of the world, to Spain, some places on the way. And he says it was done by somebody called Moshe, Oviv Shal Rabbeinu Chanoich, I don't know who that was, was one of the four Gaonim who were trapped and captured, and they ended up in Spain and created the Kehillos of Spain. And then he says the Torah continued and it grew and it mushroomed and it spread in Spain, that area, Ad Shebo HaGirush, until there was its expulsion. The Torah of the Siasta B'maru of Gdilos Turkiya, the Torah then moved across to Turkey and other similar places, Ukuyotze, HaTorah Meruba, Hoysa Meruba, Meira, B'Tzofas, and then he moved across to France, Rashi, Rabbi Seinu Bali, HaToysis, V'chach Be'lunil. And then he moved across and spread to Ashkenaz. And all of this is not random. All of this is not random. We know afterwards it moved from Ashkenaz to Lithuania, Russia, Poland, Hungary, and all the places of Europe. And in the footnote there on the Chidah, the next little paragraph there is from the footnotes in the Chidah. Ukvar noida, the kol ha-goloyos he-nevar in etzoytzos ha-kadoshos. He brings this yisoy that we've been discussing, that every single golos was there as an opportunity to uncover and to refine and to select out the netzoytzos of kedusha. Asher ba'oretz ha-hu, in that particular land, u-mitzrayim yorat b'rishoyna. And in Mitzrayim, they went down first, Levaren, Netzotzei HaKadusha, Shal Adam HaRishon. And we continued throughout all different lands, moving from one place to another, retrieving the Anfei HaKadusha, retrieving the Netzotzei of Kadusha over there. And he goes on to explain, he compares it to the Inyan of Achila, when a person eats as well, but also is a process of refinement, of taking out the Kadusha as well. And he finishes off that paragraph saying, that every time even an individual person goes from one city to another, it's a form of golos, and it's a form of birur of the nitzotzos of kedusha in that place. But as a whole, for Klal Yisrael as a whole, this explains to us the pattern of kehillahs of Klal Yisrael becoming huge and great and flourishing, and then after a period of time, it goes, that closes down, we move somewhere else, and we're mavarim the nitzotzos of kedusha somewhere else. To finish off with, in the last minute, I'd like to address a couple of points, which is a slightly different point. And the question is, okay, so we're part of this process for thousands of years, and we're part of this process of refinement, of Biru HaKadusha. And eventually when that process, Mitz Hashem B'Korov, is fulfilled and completed, will be the time for the Geula Shleima. But are there things that are holding it up? Are there things that perhaps we're doing which are slowing things down that are perhaps getting in the way? And there's two Makayos over here, one from the Kli Yochar and one from the Pele Yoyetz. And the Kli Yochar says, again, I'm not going to go through every word, we don't have the time. But he speaks about Klal Yisrael showing itself off. Living in Golos, he says, is a time to keep a lower profile. It's not a time to show ourselves off. It's not a time to show off if we have wealth, if we have money, if we have possessions, material things, not to show off. If you look in the middle of that paragraph, he says, there's a hepech mimashe Yisrael oisim b'dayres halolul ba'atzos oyveihem. And this is the opposite of what Klal Yisrael actually does in the lands of its oivim, of its enemies. Ki misha yesh lo imoneh, someone's got a little bit of money, who mares atzmai b'amushe kovoid, who bought him sufunim v'chashuvim. He shows himself off with expensive clothes, an expensive way of living, and houses and things. Ki ilu hoyu lo kama alofim, as though he's got thousands and thousands of pounds. Magarim ha'umos ba'atzmon. And it works up the nations, it makes them jealous. And he says, "Uminek zehu barabas b'nei amenu, for who hamasavev es kol hatalo'o asher motzva osnu." It is this which brings about all the troubles that we find in our society that we live, that we experience, showing off what we have. And finally, from the Pele Yoyetz over here, again he says, "V'lochein about the bold print, yiyu hanoshim hanoshim sunuim, v'lo Yisrael oshron, they shouldn't show off their wealth for tachshitom and their jewelry b'fnei hanochrim in front of goyim." And similarly with houses. And he says, an interesting thing, he quotes from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that his wife had a very expensive ring, piece of jewellery, which everybody saw and everybody was fascinated by. And they even gave her a special name, which the name Abarbanel apparently derives from. The Zer, if you look at the third last line, the Zer Goram Girush Sforad. And this caused the Spanish expulsion. That's what he says about his own self or his own wife. That's what he writes. This is the Pele Yoyetz, writes this. So it's an incredible thing, and he quotes from the Pasuk, Lama Tisra'u, that Yaakov said to his children, don't show yourselves off. When you go out to Mitzrayim, don't wipe what you're here in Eretz Yisrael, don't show yourselves off. So what we see from over here, in short, is that the Golos is a process of refining out the negative tumah. It's a process of Birur HaKadusha, of retrieving the Kadusha. But we also have to do something to make sure we don't slow down or chas v'shalom delay that process. Yeah.